So today's sermon again is what? Living by faith. Can we say that together? Amen. Firstly, open your Bible to Mark 11. Where we're actually going to is Matthew 6. But I wanted to start from Mark 11. Please open your Bible to Mark 11. And I want someone to read for me. Verse 22-26. Mark 11, 22-26. Yes, who's ready? Mark 11, 22-26. New King James Version and New Living Translation. Yes, Mark 11, 22-26. Please pay attention and try not to be distracted on your phone. Nothing else apart from your Bible app and your notes app. That's all you need. And once in a while, Google to search up something if I tell you. Nothing else for the next 50 minutes or 45 minutes. Yes? Go for it. Mark 11, 22-26.
So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses."
Amen. Amen. Now, when I say, you know, the topic of someone is living by faith, the dimension we're going in this two series is I'm focused on having your needs met. I'm focused on what? Having your needs met. And I want to show you the principles that God has provided for your needs to be met or to be taken care of. Yes, let's have New Living Translation, then I'll ask you a question. Mark 11, 22-26. Please let me pass it on. Mark 11, 22-26. New Living.
Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you have received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too."
Amen. Now let me just ask, for the benefit of teaching and for your understanding, that what are the key words in this place in terms of having your needs met? What are the key words? What are the key things to do? Yes? Please let me pass the mic. What are the key things you have to do? What do you notice? There's a central theme running through Mark 11, 22-23. There's a central one, then there are others. But there's a central one. Did you notice something that seemed to have repeated itself from 22-26? What is it? Yes.
You must believe.
You must believe. Amen. If you are not going to believe, yeah, then don't bother. Have a worry party. And I guarantee you, you will end up depressed. Amen. It's either you're going to be depressed or you'll be compromised. You go and take a deal from the devil. Yeah? You are either going to sell your soul, yeah, to the devil by taking his deal, or you're going to believe. And every time you don't believe, you are making yourself vulnerable, yeah, to the whims and the caprices of the devil. Yeah? You have to believe. If you have a mountain, I told you last time, some weeks ago, that a mountain represents a negativity in your life, a stumbling block, a messenger of Satan. That's a mountain. Yeah? If you are going to move that mountain of your way, you have to what? Believe. He said, you don't doubt, but believe that those things you say will come to pass, then you will have them. And you know, when Jesus is talking here, he says something, like say, I tell you the truth. Like, you know, if a human being says, I tell you the truth, that's one level. But, because everything Jesus says is the truth, isn't it? He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Jesus does not miss words. Jesus is joking, he's still telling the truth. Amen. So what Jesus does say, I tell you the truth, that's an emphasis here. Why? He's doing it for your benefit. He's not doing it for his own benefit. He's saying, pay double attention. He knows that what's about to tell you may sound difficult for you to believe. That's why he's emphasizing it. I'm telling the truth. If you speak to this mountain, this negativity, this obstacle, this stumbling block in your life, this messenger of Satan in your life, yeah? You can speak to it and say, leave. Be gone. Get behind me. Be removed. I'm not settling for you. You are not going to stay here. You're not staying. I say I'm not settling for you. I'm not accepting you in my life. And if you don't doubt, but you believe that those things you are saying will come to pass, you will have them. It's a principle. Jesus said it. It's true. It's very true. If it's not working, it's because you're not working it. Amen? If it's not working, the washing machine is already at home. If your clothes are piling up dirty, what is the reason? I see that with children, yeah? You just pile it up. But the washing machine is there. Amen? All paid for. You don't have to buy any water. You don't have to buy soap. Somebody paid for it. What? All you have to do is what? Take the clothes and put them in. In the days I was growing up, you don't put them in. You put them in the bucket and you use your hands to scrub them. And I went to a boarding school. You don't get to wash your clothes alone. Some lazy senior is going to just fling his dirty clothes at you and tell you to wash it. But now there's a washing machine. The principle is there. Work it. And you get the result. Yeah? You have to speak to the mountain. You have to believe. Your speaking is useless if you don't believe. Your speaking is useless if you started believing and you let doubt take you over. Because the fact that you started believing does not mean that doubt cannot take you over. So long you're in this world, you can doubt. Hallelujah. Because there's enough evidence in the world to make you doubt. Doubt comes when you see something contrary to what you are believing. You see a contrary evidence. You see a contrary sign or symptom. Hallelujah. That's why doubt comes. I mean, I know some people are professional doubters. When there's no evidence, they will look for one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes, yeah, it all looks impossible. You might have struggled for years. Hallelujah. You might have struggled for years. Does not mean God cannot do a new thing. Amen. Hallelujah. It does not mean God cannot do what? A new thing. And sometimes when God is doing a new thing, it may not happen overnight. You see, Ezekiel 37 talks about the valley of dry bones. And when God wanted to do something, when God wanted to intervene to these dry bones, there was a process. Amen? Ezekiel prophesied to these dry bones. But it did not become an army just in one go. The first, because these bones were scattered all around the valley. So the first step is that the bone came to bone. It's a process. It's progress. It's still bones, I know. Amen? It doesn't even look like a skeleton. Not talk about Halloween. I hope you're not an Halloween follower. We belong to the kingdom of light. Amen. Hallelujah. We are the light of what? Of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We cast out devils. We don't play with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the bone came to bone. But it was not yet a full skeleton. If you look at it, it's like, this is just the what? Bones. Or a bag of bones. You know, I can never call myself a bag of bones. Amen? Because I'm not just bones. Amen? I'm flesh. I'm not just flesh. I'm spirit. Amen? is stage by stage. First bones, then what? Flesh. Then what? Spirit. Amen. So, but when God is doing the work of renewal, when God is working your life, when God is working deliverance in your life, when God is working transformation in your life, it may just, the first thing may just be the bones coming to bone. But God is what? Working. All through this time, bone is coming to bone. The prophet is still saying to these bones. Hallelujah. And the bones came to what? Bones. Ezekiel 37. Hallelujah. Stage 1. And as the bones came to bones, do you realize that they had to all form the structure of a skeleton first before the flesh could come over? Otherwise, it will not form well. Amen? As the bone continues to be, the ribs continue to form, and then finally you have a full skeleton. Then you look at it, what is this? It's just what? A skeleton. But God is working. Hallelujah. God is what? Working. Before it was just scattered bones. Amen? But now it has formed what? A skeleton. Praise God! Now we have a skeleton. Amen? He's looking half human. God is working. Oh, but no, but Pastor, he can't fight any party. He can't even move. I know. But look at where you're coming from. Hallelujah. You were nothing more than a bag of bones. Now God has put it in shape. You have structure. There's structure in your life now. Before, your life was a mess. But God has now brought some structure in. You're not yet at the final point. Oh, God is working. You have to see God working. You see, faith is the ability to see God. That's why I said, without faith, you can't please God. Because he who comes to God must be that God, what? Is. But God is not like you're going to see and say, do you believe in God? Say, I believe. No, no, no. When you mean that God is, it means he's here. He said, I am that I am. When I say God is, I mean that he's here with me right now. He's here in my situation. He is able to intervene. He is able to make a change. It doesn't matter what the doctor said. God is. Amen. It doesn't matter what my finances said. God, what? Is. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter the history. It doesn't matter those who have ganged up against me. God, what? Is. God is. Hallelujah. You know, they say, one with God is a majority. If God steps into your situation, it doesn't matter if the whole world is against you. God is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see God. You see God. You must see that God is. God is able. Amen. God is with you. Hallelujah. God is for you. Hallelujah. God is able. Hallelujah. And so they have the skeleton. But as you continue to speak, because prophesying, once you've received the word of God, yeah? The first thing of prophesying is know what God wants to say. What's the first thing of prophesying? Know what God wants to say. Or another way of saying it, if you want to prophesy, you need to first of all know what is in the mind of God concerning you or your situation. You can't just wake up and prophesy anything. I hear religious unbelievers prophesying. They are prophesying rubbish. Because they don't know the word of God. I see it. So I prophesy. Who are you? You are prophesying to me. You don't know God. It doesn't matter whether you, even if an unbeliever comes to me and say, I prophesy that I shall be well with you, I will not say amen. You don't know God. That doesn't belong to you. First, go and sort out your relationship with God. Hallelujah. To prophesy, you need to know the mind of God. You cannot know the mind of God if you are not servicing your relationship with God. Hallelujah. There are two ways to know the mind of God. It's either going to come to you by the Logos or what? The Rhema. Amen. But you don't have any communion with the Logos. You don't have any... That's the word. Amen. That's the word. In the beginning was the word. That is Logos. And you don't have any communion with what? The Rhema, that's the Holy Spirit. The last time I checked, you were struggling overnight in a pub, drinking alcohol. You don't want to prophesy. No, forget it. Amen? You can prophesy. I will put myself under your anointing. Amen? Hallelujah. You know the mind of God. That's the first stage. But the second stage is, you will now need to vocalize the mind of God. Hallelujah. When you know the mind of God, yeah, you have entered stage one of prophesying. But now you will need to speak the mind of God. Why didn't God himself go and prophesy to the dry bones? Have you ever thought about that? There's this valley of dry bones, Ezekiel 37. God can do all things, can't he? Why did he need Ezekiel? Why didn't God just go to the driver and say, "Oh, bones, begin to live"? Why does he need a man? Hallelujah. Because God always walks in partnership with man. When God created Adam, he gave the word to him and said, "Have dominion." Hallelujah. We are responsible for what happens on the earth. Hallelujah. If God will rule on this earth, he will rule through us. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why when God wanted to save mankind, he became a man. Hallelujah. That's the legal pathway. Hallelujah. To operate on the earth, to have dominion on the earth, you need to be what? You need to be a human. So when God wants to operate, he will partner with what? A human. One thing about God is this, yeah? Sometimes he just needs one person. He's quite happy to use many people. But when many people will compromise his mission, he will rather find what? Few. You know, I remember a slogan, and I'm not making any political statement. It's just for fun. One of the political parties, when they were doing election, is, I don't have any political affiliation. The only affiliation I have is the kingdom. Anything that serves the kingdom, I will support you. When you start opposing the kingdom, how about that? That's my own permanent interest. Amen? It's the kingdom and his righteousness. So the Bible says this, for the many and not what? The few. But that doesn't apply to the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, the way God operates is what? For the what? Few. Not what? Someone tell me why. Why will God operate for the few, not the many? Think about it. It's simple. You read it all over the Bible. Why are the things of God for the few, not the many?
Because few are those who find the straight and narrow path.
Yes, it's the road that leads to life. He's narrow, and few find it. Yes, more reasons, but that's correct, more reasons. Why are the things of God, including what I'm saying today about living by faith, why is living by faith for the few, not the many?
Because many are called, but few are chosen.
because we put that together for her. I just like the way she dribbled me there. It's very good. I like it. That was a goal. It's a good goal. Because many are called, but few are chosen. Yeah? But let's just think about it. Think about it. Living by faith, why is it for the few, not the many? All the answers are correct. I'm just trying to open up your understanding. Yeah? Anybody? Think. It's not too far-fetched. You know it. Why is living by faith for the few, not the many?
Because only a few really walk by the principle. You need to tick all the boxes before you're able to to achieve the goal of living by faith.
Yes, God has his ways. Amen? He said, my ways are not your ways. And neither are my thoughts your thoughts. But that should not be applying to you if you are walking with God. Amen? That verse applies to so-called believers that are not walking with God. They are not servicing their relationship with God. They don't have communion with God. You see, if God's ways are not my ways, how do I resolve the problem? Spend time with him. Yeah? That begin to reprogram me, renew me, so that I can align. Amen? Now when I align, I become part of the few. I can live by faith now and get results. You don't get God to align with you. You align with God. Amen? Does it ever occur to you that the Father has never left his throne? Amen? God is three in one. Amen? Someone told me, I said, that's so important for your salvation. Because the Father sits on the throne. Amen. The day the Father will leave his throne, the world will end. Literally speaking. Amen. When the Father leaves his throne, the world has ended. He will come down and dwell with his people. Amen. Hallelujah. But the Son left the throne or the glory and he came down. Amen. And became a man. You see why the Trinity is very important? Now the Father can remain on his throne. Why the Son comes and takes our place. Now he has ascended back and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And when he said that, he said it's important that I go. Reason, because there's something more. Amen? The Son went back. Not just because his mission was finished, but because there was something more. Or something better. Which is what? The Holy Spirit. You see, when the Son was on earth, we had to all go and look for him. And interact with him. But the Holy Spirit has come now to dwell in each and every one of us. Amen? So we now have all the access individually and together. Amen? Hallelujah. So, God is working. God is what? Working. So you have to believe. If that mountain will move, you have to believe. That's why your job description when you come to Christ is what? You are a what? You're a believer. What do believers do? They believe. Now, did they just believe anything? Just anything? What do they believe? The word of God. Hallelujah. And because they believe the word of God, they also live it out. I was listening to a message on YouTube. It's a Nigerian pastor. I won't tell you him because you don't need to know. And he was illustrating, I was talking about faith. And faith is important. Faith is important. Don't ever misunderstand it. Faith is important. And he was talking about faith, you know. And he was acting it out as a drama, you know. You know, he put somebody out and was like, you know, does he believe that if he falls backward, he can catch him? And then the guy says yes. Now, he tells him to fall. The guy looks at his size. Look at the size of the preacher. I say, I don't think you can carry me. That's not believing. Believing is that you live it. If I believe something, it must find expression in my words and in my actions. If it doesn't find expression, I don't believe it. It doesn't matter how much I say I believe it. Hallelujah. If I believe it, I will live it. Amen? If I believe it, I would what? I will live it. Just separate the be and the live. Yeah? To believe it is to what? Is to live it. Then you will see the result. Hallelujah? Then you will see the result. Hallelujah? To live by faith is to commit yourself to Jesus. And say, we are going to walk together. We are walking this journey together. I know that if on my own I step on the water, I will sink. But I'm going to walk with you, Jesus. Because you are walking on the water. And if I walk with you, we will both what? Walk on the water. Hallelujah. And when we walk on the water, it's not for my selfish gain. It's for God's glory. Hallelujah. It's for what? God's glory. Hallelujah. So he says stage two of prophesying. Or he's speaking. So you have the skeleton. And then the bones become what? Flesh. The bones become what? If you stay with God, if you stay in faith. The problem sometimes is that you are in faith and then you go back into doubt. You know, last week I talked about the yo-yo Christian. Faith, then what? The little progress you made when you were in faith, you won't go and have a doubt and worry party. All the faith has sunk. Now you're back in faith again. The little momentum you gathered again, you go and sink it. Yeah? You're not going to make progress. Stay there. Stay what? Stay in faith. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. We touch your number 10 and stay in faith. It's a principle. If you're going to have your knees met and your mountains moved, you have to learn to persevere in faith. Stay there. Then the bones will become flesh. Hallelujah. But even when the bones have become flesh, there may be no traction, no movement, because there's no breath. Stay in faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let me explain one principle to you about the value of dry bones. And this was not part of my sermon, but the Holy Spirit just opening it up to me this morning. There is a part where you can prophesy and things move. There's another part where your prophesying is just asking the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do. See, when the bones came to bone and the flesh came upon them, that was the prophet Ezekiel speaking to the bones. Huh? But in the stage, in the advanced stage, he has to hand over, yeah, to the rhema. He has to hand over to the breath or the spirit. Hallelujah. It's the spirit that gives life. Amen. No matter your confession, you need the Holy Spirit to breathe. Hallelujah. Upon your situation. Hallelujah. You need the Holy Spirit to quicken what only He can quicken. Hallelujah. So, instead of prophesying, you are moving from your communion with the Word to the communion with the Holy Spirit. So that He can do. It is the breath that came into them and made them alive. Hallelujah. It's the breath that came. It's the breath that what? Okay. God can breathe. Hallelujah. But have you ever imagined the breath coming into the bones without the flesh being there? What will you have? Please follow me. The bones came together. Now you have a skeleton. Then the breath came into them. What will you have? You're going to have a Halloween party. The skeleton is moving all over town, dancing. And so, is that what you want? No. The flesh has to come first before the bread comes. So what I'm trying to explain to you is that sometimes you are giving up on the process. And you don't understand that you want God to just jump some things. But you don't understand what the outcome may not be very nice. Hello? Let me explain that again. Sometimes on your journey to what God wants to do in your life, it involves a process. Yeah? Stage by stage. If a path is jumped because you don't want to persevere, you don't want to endure anything, just fix it. Jump from A to Z. The outcome may not be lovely at all. It's like a half-baked cake. You know? Anybody bakes cake? If you tell me to bake cake, you know what I'll do? I just put the oven to 300 degrees. Can we have 300 degrees? So rather than just baking for 1 hour, I can bake it in 5 minutes. Can't I bake it in 5 minutes? 300 degrees. Quickly, let it cook fast. It's not cooking. It's not all about cooking. Is baking not cooking? It is cooking. Okay, it's cooking. Just turn it to massive up. Close it. What will be the outcome? It will not be palatable, yeah? My palate will not like it. Amen? So I'm just trying to show you that stay with God in faith. Stay with God in the process. To live by faith, it includes some endurance. So just stay there. Hallelujah. Stay believing, stay trusting, and obey what God tells you. Yeah? Sometimes God does not give you all the revelation. Have you noticed? It's His way. But the one He gave you, stay there. What? Stay there. Say, Father, we want to reach the whole of basis so we can get everybody saved. Is that not good? Yeah, but all He just told you is that 1 hour on Saturday, once a month, go to town center, front of McDonald's, not inside McDonald's, front, and preach. He said, but God, we want to save this altar. I said, yes, just obey only what he told you. How you will get to that place? That was in his hands. When it's time for him to change his story, he will give you the next instruction, but stay with the one he gave you. Because that one he gave is your pathway to the breakthrough or the miracle that you desire. And if you don't stay there, you lose the miracle. Then you will worry. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me see how I do with time. Now, I want you to read for me again, Mark 11, verse 24 to 26. Yes, someone was not right today. Mark 11, 24 to, thank you. Mark 11, 24 to 26, I'll come to you. Mark 11, 24
to 26. NLT?
Yes, please.
I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you have received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone that you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too.
Amen. Now, I wanted to talk about 25, 26, but with the Holy Spirit, I will not jump there. Let me start on 24. So, you can pray for anything. Now, of course, when you say anything, it's still going to be anything in the package. God has no obligation to give you anything that is not consistent with his character. Because he cannot deny himself. Amen? He's not a sorcerer. He's not a witch doctor. You know, if you go to a witch doctor and say, help me to kill my friend, he will kill it. Kill my enemy, kill it. Kill your relation. You don't want to worship that type of God. That's no character. Amen? If you go to God and say you should kill your friend, God can discipline you. Rather than killing your friend. Because his character is righteousness and holiness. Amen? If there's someone he should kill, he will kill them. I've never told you that God cannot kill people. He has the right to kill people. But you are not the one who will tell him who to kill. Amen? Amen? He said, vengeance is what? Mine. I will repay. But you know what you can do? I'm not saying, you can say, God, this is the situation. Take vengeance. That's scriptural. You can say, Lord, take vengeance. But anytime you pray that, you must hand over to his own way of taking vengeance. Hallelujah. What he now told you that if your enemy is hungry, what do you do? What do you do to your enemy when he's hungry? He's still your enemy, by the way. It didn't say it's not. God did not tell you that your enemy must be your friend. Don't misunderstand the Bible. Your friend is your friend, and your enemy is what? But he said, love your enemies. He didn't tell you to make them your friends. Hello? You can love somebody you don't like. How? When they are hungry, and the only food in the world is with you, what do? You feed them. They are not still your friend. You can even tell them, you're not my friend, but I will still feed you. Amen. Why are you doing it? So that you can be sons and daughters of your Father, who makes his rain to fall on the good and the evil. And he said that, and the Lord will reward you. You are not doing it for them, you are doing it for him, and he will reward you. He will repay. He will take vengeance. Because his vengeance will be righteous. His vengeance will be just and true. Amen? So, question is, he says if you pray for anything, or he said you should believe that you receive them, and you shall what? Have them. And I won't believe that this verse is talking about your needs. Amen? If you go to God and I say, Lord, I want all the riches in Basingstoke to be mine. Will he answer? Do you know what that means? It means even the one that belongs to you have to be transferred to me. Yeah? It's not anything, just anything. It's anything consistent with his character. Amen? And it is referring also to your legitimate needs. Your legitimate, whether they are spiritual, emotional, mental, physical, financial, material, but they are righteous and legitimate. He said, if you believe that you receive them, you will what? So as a teacher, I'm asking myself, what is the problem? The problem is this. If I'm not having my needs met, and I've prayed, I've asked, the only problem can be, I'm having a problem with believing that I what? Receive them. That's what I need to look at. And ask myself a question. Why do believers find it difficult to believe that they have received what they ask God for? Let's take some questions. Some answers. Why do believers find it difficult to believe? So you go to God and you ask Him for something. But you find it difficult to believe that it is settled. Then let me put it in simple language. Remember, you don't have it yet, but you just... Although you don't have it, but you believe that it is done. It's a done deal. Why? Yes?
Because most believers expect their prayers answered in a specific package.
Aha! There's a fixed way that God has to work. Yes, more? That's a good one.
I think because they can't physically see it.
Physically see it. They can't until it is physically tangible. It's not real. So they are more used to walking by sight than by what? Faith. I say, until I touch him, until I put my hand into the holes in his hand and in his side, I will not believe. That's the type of faith. It's Thomas' faith. It's a real hell. If I don't put it, I will not believe. Let me tell you something about that approach. What Thomas did not realize that Jesus is a resurrected brain. He can create holes in his body if he wants. You see, the Jesus you see resurrected in the Gospels is not the Jesus you see in Revelation. There's no holes in the hand of the one in Revelation. Go and read it. Or in his feet. Read it. Revelation chapter 1. He's a glorified being. He can retain the holes and he can dispose them. He's a resurrected being. He can keep the scars. He can choose not to. He didn't have to. When Jesus is resurrected, he didn't have to keep any scar. Amen. So if he kept it, it's only for your, just for the benefit of the doubter. You say, have you heard about the benefit? Eh? The benefit of the doubt. Is that something like that? The benefit of the doubt. But don't always live in the benefit of what? The doubt. The doubt doesn't even have too much benefit. Live by faith. Hallelujah. Live by what? Faith. Live by faith. Leave the many to be living in the benefit of what? The doubt. For you, if you are going to ascend, you're going to rise on eagle's wings above all what is going down there. You're going to live by faith. If you don't live by faith, you will not rise on eagle's wings. You'll be living on the ground level where everybody is by sight. If you cannot handle it, it's not real. More? Any other reason? Why is it difficult for people to believe that they've received? You pray to God. But you find the God that it's settled. It's done. Why?
Past experiences.
Past experiences.
The things that has been just normal life.
Yes.
Living a human normal life.
Yes.
And
living, operating on the natural realm. Yeah. Past experiences, all what you've gone through. Somebody stole your song, you know, and they made money from it. And you are languishing there. Yeah, ma? Why is it difficult to believe that you have received? You told God something. You presented a need. But you can't just believe that it's sorted. Because if you believe it's sorted, you will not worry, isn't it? Hello? The proof that you don't believe that you have received is that you are still what? Worried. Does it make sense? The day I believe is settled, will I worry? What will I do? What will you do?
You start thinking.
Thanksgiving! you begin to enter the joy in advance of receiving. But when you are yet to be that you receive, you worry. You worry. I'm just saying, by worrying, can you even have a can you increase your height by a little? Can you increase your shoe size or reduce it? Yes? Was yes.
The weight.
The weight of the problem. The problem is bigger to you than God. The problem is what? Too big for God. No. Theologically, you will not accept that the problem is too big for God. Your theology will not accept that, yeah? You know that God is big. But in your eyes, that problem is what? Big. I say, have you seen these giants in Jericho? Was it Jericho? Yeah? Or Canaan? They sent the spies. Sir, we were like grasshoppers in their high. So basically, in their own imagination, they were like grasshoppers. And so were they in their sight. 10 people said that. Then 2 people came and said, no, we can take the land. So tell me, who entered the land out of those 12? Only the 2 that believed that they could. Yo, there were giants there. But have you ever read the story of David and Goliath? Hello? Who brought down Goliath? David or God? Answer. I will tell you that it's both. Amen. If David was not going to release his faith, no Goliath is coming down. If David was not going to step forward, yeah? No Goliath is what? Coming down. But David, in all of his power, cannot bring down Goliath. Yeah? It has to be the work of God. Oh, someone said, David was a professional slinger. He says it's like a modern what? Sniper or modern, you know, like when they fire a what missile, you know, electronic is programmed. No. Yes, David released the stone. The Holy Spirit took it and went to land it where it needed to land. I'm asking my question. Did Goliath have a helmet or not? I don't know. We know he had a armor. So what about helmet? So what happened? How did the stone pass through the helmet? And, you know, I'm not a doctor, and I thank God I'm not a doctor. So I'm not in that in my belief. Amen. David's stone landed the very spot he needed to land there to finish Goliath. Any other spot, Goliath will survive. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Took the faith of David. Yeah? And finished the job for him. Amen. I want you to see that partnership. Yeah? As you release your faith and you stay in faith, the Holy Spirit will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit can drop inside your heart the gift of the mustard seed faith. So you started in your own faith, but you know that that faith will not move that mountain. But you stay there. Amen? Then at the right moment, this will just drop for you what? A little mustard seed of faith. It's a gift of faith. It's supernatural. That one, that mustard seed, will move the mountain. But it will not come through if you don't stay there. Hallelujah. Every time, yeah, where God had an appointment to meet you, you already left the place. You went back into worry and doubt. You missed the appointment of faith. You missed the miracle because you could not stay there. You are not living by faith. The Bible says the just shall what? Live by what? By faith. Okay, let me take one more answer and then I'll show you. Take it to Matthew 6 and then we'll begin to round off. Why is it difficult for people to believe that they receive when they pray to God?
The fear of unworthiness, like maybe you have sin.
The fear. Let's quickly deal with that one. Yeah, fear will hinder your faith, isn't it? No doubt about it. Fear will hinder your faith. But remember what the Bible said. First of all, before you ever came to God, what were you? you're a sinner. Yeah? Anybody not a sinner when they came to God? Before they were born again, they were never a sinner. They've always been righteous all their life. No wrong thought, no wrong word, no wrong deed ever. So you're a sinner. Yeah? And yet he gave you the gift of salvation because you received it by what? Faith. So but by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works. Someone said, you know, but I did nothing. You did something, you received it. Amen. You did what? You received. Because someone rejected it. Do you agree? We went out yesterday. Yes, I'm saying, no, I don't have time. I want to preach somebody say, oh, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I want to say, that's exactly the person I'm looking for. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, I need you. You're the one that needs the gospel. Amen. So someone rejected it, but you accepted it, yeah? That's good. You're in faith now. So, yes, if you've done wrong, the Bible says, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. Memorize it if you're having problems. He said that if we say we have no sin, we are lying. And the truth is not in us. It's God's way of doing things. You know, if it's man's way of doing things, they will block you. They will colonize you and tell you, you don't qualify. You are third tier. You will never qualify. God is no respecter of persons. Amen? God is what? There were two people that went to the temple. Jesus said it. One went and was like, oh Lord, oh thank you. I'm not a sinner like this tax collector. You know, I do everything right, you know, and I'm very kind and whatever, you know. And then this man just went down on his knees and could not even look. I said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, that man, that second man, he went home more justified. That man. So if you see, you go, you repent. He said, I'm sorry. Mean it. Genuine. You can't deceive God, yeah? They don't even try. Genuinely. Say, Lord, I missed it. Or maybe you're struggling. You say, Lord, I'm struggling. I need help. God sees your heart. He knows exactly the genuineness of what you're doing. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that he is faithful and just to what? How many times do you think that God will have to forgive in your life? I'm not talking about past. I'm talking about future. Amen. You receive forgiveness by faith. Someone say, oh, maybe I'm giving a license to say no. It's a license to righteousness. Because basically, if you don't know you can be forgiven, you will stay in condemnation and not move forward. You will give the devil every reason to come and harass you more. Receive forgiveness by faith. Then, get back on track. Get back in faith. Get back in line. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 6 and let me see how we're doing time. Okay, so let me try to round up in 5 minutes. Matthew 6, let me show you one reason why we struggle with believing that we receive and then we worry. Matthew 6, verse 31. And 32. I will continue this message next week, like I said. But let's just do Matthew 6, 31 and 32. Yes, two versions. And then we will finish on that note. Matthew 6, 31 and 32. Yes. If you've not read today. Anybody not read today? Matthew 6, 31 and 32. Yes. Matthew 6, 31 and 32. Please listen. New King James. New Living.
New Living. So don't worry about this thing saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers.
To me, this when someone is an unbeliever, someone they are not in faith. That's how they think. So a believer should not be doing the same thing that unbelievers do. Continue.
For your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all. Above all else, and live righteously.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, let me just emphasize this part and we'll pray. I want you to understand the reason why you should not worry. Let me tell you the reason. Then it tells you the solution. Is your heavenly Father already knows what you need. You know, sometimes when you are praying, you are trying to tell God what he doesn't know. You are telling that God, in case you didn't know, this is what's happening. And in case you didn't know, this is what I need. You are not in faith. Start believing that he knows your needs. He's a loving father. He knows. And this is how God's trying to tell us that, look, the lilies that one moment they're in the field, what the other moment they're in the oven. I know you may not understand that one. You don't understand the lilies being in the field, then in the oven. Yeah? But you understand spinach. Yeah? One moment in the field, another moment is in your tummy. Yeah? You get that one. Amen. But he cares for them. And it still makes them bring out beautiful colors. Knowing fully whether they will end up in the trash. Anybody ever bought you a lovely flower? The nicest one. What happened eventually? I mean, that's why in the days I was younger, I didn't believe in flowers. Because I know that their destiny is green. Well, I've changed. I'm better now. You know, the worst thing about flowers is that they can never enter your tummy. If you're hungry. Amen. But I've changed. I've learned to appreciate the colors. Amen. The beauty of God in the colors. Amen. So, but God is saying that these are flowers. So basically, think about the character of God. He cares about those lilies. Somebody could even walk to a field and trample them. Yeah? A rose can be trampled. How much more you? You're a precious soul. Yeah. If God can care about that lily, why will he not care about you? If God takes time to make sure that he beautifies the lilies and he brings out their colors, how much more you? So you don't know, or you just understand that God cares about you and he knows your need. You need a husband. God knows. He knew before you thought you needed one. Oh yeah, he knows. You need a job? God knows. You need healing? God knows. You need a problem to be, you need to solve a problem. God knows already. He knows, he knows, he knows. You are struggling. God knows you are struggling. He knows. He knows you are struggling. He knows. You are in a difficult situation. He knows. Start believing that he knows. If I cannot get you to believe that he knows, you are, it's difficult to get you to believe that you received. Amen. He knows. And because he knows, he already knows that he expects you to come and seek his help. He knows. Hallelujah. So, when you are presented your legitimate need, when I say legitimate, I'm not talking about covetousness and greed. Yeah? I'm not talking about prayer points that you want to use to pursue your pride and vainglory and selfishness. Yeah? God is not in those business. But you have a genuine need. It could be spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, financial, material, whatever. He knows. And he cares. So when you bring it before him, there's no reason why you cannot believe that he will meet it. Hallelujah. Let's rise up. Let's leave it there. We continue next week. So the summary of today's message is believe. You have to start believing. If you don't believe, you will doubt, you will worry, you will compromise. You will go off track completely. Because you are now living like an unbeliever. The moment you don't believe that God can meet your needs, the moment you don't believe that God has a solution to your problem and that you can trust him, you will begin to live like an unbeliever. That's the consequence. You're going to pray. Let me say, remember, when you believe that you received, you stay there trusting. Stop worrying. Worrying is that you are trying to make it happen. And you can make big mistakes in the process and be very depressed. Trusting means that you are waiting on him. And sometimes he will give you instructions. Sometimes he does give you only one instruction. That instruction doesn't look like the answer to your prayer. But keep obeying. You see, the last thing God told you is just stay there and obey. It is the key to the answer you are looking for. Whether it comes in 6 months or in 6 years, Father knows what you need. And he knows exactly the type of solution you need, the right timing, the right place. and whether you, he knows what you need to be ready for that solution. Pray and say, Lord, help me to live by faith. I want to live by faith. I don't want my life to be like that of an unbeliever, a Gentile, who is just always, you know, hustling and worrying. You see, because they can't trust God. So they will hustle and they will worry because they can't trust God. They can't see how God will do it, so they must try to do it. But say, Lord, I want to believe. I want to trust you. I want to learn to persevere in faith. I want to learn to wait on you. Sometimes things are not yet adding up, but you wait. Because if you don't wait, you will make a mistake that can cost you a lot. So just say, help me, Lord, to trust you. And when and all the time when you are trusting God, you are waiting for some instruction or some insight or some direction. And it will come if you stay in faith. It will come if you stay in faith. And there are other things that you've done everything you ought to do, and you're just waiting for the moment that the Holy Spirit will come with his breath. And it will breathe upon the flesh, and it will rise up and become an exceedingly great. I mean, God is still in that business. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's in business. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We choose to trust in you. We choose to live by faith. And thank you, because as we do this, we will walk righteousness on the earth. And we will give no place to Satan. In Jesus' name, amen.